Katamadiya tu samana priyastvam avesya mamatmini santamekam sarveshu puteshu avijanamisham yajasva yogena chakar mahinvan.
Lord Nrsingadev continues in his words to Prahlad Maharaj. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the supreme super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruit of activities and worship me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord. Because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karmakanda is meant for the less intelligent man. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandika, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Kevala Vishara Bhanda. Both Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, fruit of activities and speculation about the Lord, are like paths of poison. One who is attracted to Karmakanda and Jnanakanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in Karmakanda or Jnanakanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord. Anukulyena Krishnadu Silanam Bhakti Uttama, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service. Translation: It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruit of activities and worship me. There is that story that Srila Prabhupada tells about the fortune teller who came to one kingdom, and he was giving benedictions to everyone in the kingdom according to their respective position. First, he was approached by the prince. And the benediction he gave the prince was, better you live. Then he was approached by a brahmachari. And he told the brahmachari the benediction, better you die. Then he was approached by a butcher, a slaughterer of innocent animals. And he gave him the benediction, better you neither live nor die. And then he was approached by a pure-hearted devotee of Lord Krishna. And he gave the benediction, either you live or die. So the people in general wanted an explanation why he had given these particular benedictions to the respective persons. And he began to explain that this prince, he is enjoying a very pleasurable life at the moment. He has all material opulences, prestige, fame, all sorts of sense gratification, no inconveniences. But because in his opulent condition, he is engaging in sinful activities, after he exhausts all his previous piety, he's going to have to suffer in his next birth all of the sins that he is committing. Therefore, better he live. For at death, he will suffer the torments of hell. As far as the brahmachari, he is living quite the opposite life. He has no material opulence. He has no material pleasures. He is forsaking everything pleasing in this world. He is performing hardships, austerities, sleeping on the hard floor, eating very simple prasad. He is the obedient servant of all others, simply carrying out the order of his superiors. In this way, he is living a very hard life, full of pain and suffering. But the fruit of this great tapasya is when he leaves this body, he will go back home, back to Godhead. So for the brahmachari, the benediction I have given is better you die and go back to Godhead. Finish up all these austerities and hardships. In regard to the butcher, the prophet described that this butcher, every day during his life, he is surrounded by bloodshed and the screaming of horror from the mouths of murdered animals. Therefore, his existence is full of the stench of death and full of the sound of pain. Therefore, he is living a hellish condition. And when he has to give up his body, he is going to have to suffer exactly whatever pain he has caused for all these animals. Therefore, he is in an abominable, painful condition now, and it will only get worse and continue after death. So for such a person, better he neither live nor die. And then the people asked, well, what about this benediction you have given to this great devotee of Lord Sri Krishna? And he replied that this devotee, his body, his mind, his words are constantly engaged in the loving service of Lord Sri Krishna at every moment. And he is finding the greatest happiness, the greatest pleasure in remembering the Lord, offering his devotion to the Lord. At the time of death, it is the Lord's unconditional guarantee that his devotee will go back home, back to Godhead. And what will he do there? He will do the same thing he's doing here. He will be dedicating his body, mind, words, everything in the loving service of the Lord, and always remember him. So therefore, whether he lives or dies, it doesn't matter, because he is always experiencing the divine happiness of remembering Krishna. So Lord Narsingadev is here giving the same benediction to Prahlad Maharaj. He says, my dear Lord, it does not matter that you are in the material world, because you are constantly hearing my glories and you are constantly engaged in chanting my holy names. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, that is Vaikuntha. The Lord has spoken to Narada Muni, Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, that wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, you should know that I am in that place. And wherever Krishna is, he also manifests his supreme abode of Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, the spiritual world is factually wherever the devotee is praising the glories of the Lord. And this was confirmed by Srila Advaita Acharya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, and Lord Nityananda, by a very clever device, rerouted Lord Gaurhari to Santipur, Advaita Charja explained to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that really you are not in Vrindavan bathing in Jamuna, but you are in Santipur bathing in Ganga. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, oh, this Lord Nityananda, he has tricked me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became quite angry. But Advaita Charja, being very grateful to Lord Nityananda for having tricked the Lord, wanted to protect him. So he said, no, he did not trick you. What he was saying was perfectly honest, because he told you that this is the Jamuna, but factually, at the place called Prayag, where the Kumbh Mela takes place every 12 years, these Sri Ganga Mai and Jamuna Mai, they come together into one river. And from that point, it is understood that on the eastern bank, that is the Ganga, and on the western bank, that is the Jamuna. And because you are now on the western bank, you are factually bathing in the Jamuna. And as far as you're being in Vrindavan, wherever the lotus feet of those pure devotees are, who are constantly glorifying the Lord, that place is Vrindavan. We could analyze this logically. There is a verse that describes that Krishna, in his divine form of Govinda, never takes one step out of Vrindavan. When Govindaji, Shyam Sundar, leaves Vrindavan, it appears that he leaves. But factually, Shyam Sundar remains in Vrindavan. And the Jamuna, which is the border of Vrindavan, whenever he goes and comes, he goes in Jamuna. And at that time, the Govindaji feature of Goloka remains in Vrindavan, and he takes on his Vasudev feature to go to Mathura and Dwarka. But Govinda never leaves Vrindavan. It is also described by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur about the birth of Lord Sri Krishna. It is described that in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, that Vasudev Sri Krishna appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa as the child of Devaki and Vasudev. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur describes in the Puranas, there is information given that Mother Yashoda had twin children. She had one boy and one girl. And the boy was Govinda, Sri Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Krishna of Vrindavan. And also she gave birth, Yashoda Mai, to Jogamaya, Durga Devi. So when Vasudev came with the Vasudev Krishna, when he came to Jamuna, it is described that the waves were so high, he had Krishna in basket on his head, that it knocked Krishna down and he fell into the Jamuna. And Vasudev, in great anxiety, was looking through the waves trying to find his child. And when he picked up the child, it appeared to be the same child. But that Vasudev changed his bhava into Shamsundar. Because Vasudev Krishna never goes into Vrindavan. And Shamsundar Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Same person, but they are in a different loving sentiment. So then Vasudev took this beautiful little baby and he brought it to the bedside of Yashodamai, and that little baby that he had merged into the body of Yashodamai's baby, Gopal. And then he took Yogamaya, the girl, and brought her back to Mathura. So factually, Krishna is Devaki Nandana. But he's also directly the son of Yashoda, Yashoda Nandana. He is known by the people in general as the foster child of Yashoda. But he is both. He is simultaneously the foster child, and he is also the real child. Yashoda Nandana, Rajajana Ranjana. And he is the giver of pleasure to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So Lord Shamsundar, he never, ever, ever leaves Vrindavan. And at the same time, he tells us, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar, that he is none different than his name. Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, wherever his name is being chanted, he is there. So we are coming to a logical conclusion. If he is wherever his name is, and Shamsundar never leaves Vrindavan, that means wherever his name is being chanted, that place is Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And this is the essence of what is being spoken by Srila Advaita Acharya. That my dear Lord, because you are always praising the glories of the Lord, therefore, wherever, whatever tract of land your lotus feet are touching, that place is Vrindavan Dham. And that is why the great souls are said to have lotus feet. Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Charana feet Aravindam. That means his feet are like the lotus. Because a lotus is protected by the leaf of the lotus. And the leaf of the lotus has a natural repellent against water or any type of dirt. Anything that touches the leaf of the lotus immediately rolls off of it like a ball. If you put water on the leaf of the lotus, it becomes like a ball and instantly rolls off. And any dirt or any debris, anything, it is such of a slippery substance that it just repels it instantly. This material world is considered a dirty place because the three modes of material nature are in all directions influencing people to materialistic activities. And therefore, for a devotee of the Lord, as we have explained many times, the difference between piety and impiety is like the difference between wet stool and dry stool. It's all stool, it's all material. A hog likes wet because it's very tasteful, doesn't like dry. But a human being, to him, wet or dry, it's abominable. So similarly, a materialistic person likes happiness in the mode of goodness, doesn't like distress. To him, he discriminates between happiness and distress, between the three modes of material nature. But for a devotee, it's all material. It's all temporary. It's all dirt. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Abrama bhuvanaloka punaravartanojana mamu petatu kontiya punarajanmana vidyate.
For a devotee, the happiness of Brahmaloka and the suffering of Patalaloka, there's not much difference.
To a materialist, there's a great amount of difference. Just examine our own life. We're talking about the broad difference in the spectrum between the billions and billions of years of unimaginable pleasure of Brahmaloka and the excruciating, unthinkable suffering of Patalaloka. It's quite a difference. Huh? Look at us. We get a little boil in our body, and we think, ah, so horrible, so painful, how will I live? And then when the pus comes out, we're thinking, ah, how nice, what a wonderful difference there is. Ah, so such an insignificant thing as this, we're thinking there's such a difference. Ah? But a devotee, he doesn't even see a difference between Brahmaloka and Patalaloka. What to speak of having a boil and not having a boil? Ah? This is the nature of this world. We're making such a difference between happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, but a devotee makes no distinction. Because he knows it's all temporary, it's all ultimately a miserable condition. So in this way, the devotees of the Lord they are constantly situated in Vrindavan, the spiritual world, for a very simple reason. Because they no longer take pleasure in the objects of the senses, but they take pleasure in glorifying Krishna. As soon as you take pleasure in the objects of the senses, you are in the material world. And as soon as you take pleasure in glorifying Krishna, you are in Vrindavan. Huh? So therefore, our life should be organized in such a way that we minimize as far as possible how much we are gratifying our senses. And we keep our senses constantly immersed in the service of the Lord of the senses. And of all the senses, the most important is the tongue. By always discussing the glories of the Lord and chanting his name, and by always hearing his glories, then we can always be situated in Vrindavan Dham. And we can create the atmosphere of Vrindavan for others to take shelter of. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath has appeared in this very extraordinary city of Bombay simply to create the divine atmosphere of Vrindavan. How much is his mystic power? This city full of dirt, crime, rats, poverty, noise, pollution, and just about everything else. That he has descended into this city to create the atmosphere of the pure eternal abode of Vrindavan. This temple room, factually, is Vrindavan. It is just a question of our vision. If we are always thinking of Krishna, then Vrindavan will be revealed to us right here. But if we are, even if we are sitting in this temple before Radha Gopinath, if we are thinking nonsense, talking nonsense, thinking about our own sense gratification, talking about our own sense gratification,
than we are in the material world. For that matter, even if you go to the holy land of Vrindavan, if you are thinking in terms of your sense gratification, factually you are not in Vrindavan. You are in the material world, even though your body may physically be in Vrindavan Dham, which is none different than the spiritual world. Your consciousness is not. That is why Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Vishaya chatiya kabe sudahave mana kabe hamaheribo Sri Vrindavan. He wrote this song while living in Vrindavan. And he's praying, when will that day be when I relinquish all desire for material sense gratification? When I forget all about enjoying this world, only then will I be able to see Vrindavan. So Lord Nrsimhadev is here explaining to Prahlad that it does not matter whether you are in this material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruit of activities and worship me. Would anyone like to ask any questions?
Yes. Thinking about devotional service is thinking about Krishna. Provide you are thinking of doing it for the pleasure of your spiritual master in Krishna. If you are thinking of performing your devotional service for an ulterior motive, then that is mixed. If you are thinking of performing your devotional service for your own sense gratification, or for your own prestige, then your consciousness is not really situated in devotional service, although the activity may be devotional service. So to the degree you are thinking in terms of pleasing Krishna through your service, pleasing the Vaishnavas through your service, to that extent Krishna is non-different than devotional service. But are you doing it for your own sense gratification, or are you doing it to please your authority? Whether you're thinking about it or not at the time, what is your motive? Why does it have to be done? It doesn't have to be done. Huh? You could do something else. It has to be done, but why? Push on the mission because to assist your guru, or does it have to be done for some other reason? Huh? So if your initial reasoning for performing this hectic service is to assist your spiritual master, a genuine desire to assist your spiritual master or assist the Vaishnavas, then you should understand that that meditation itself is thinking of Krishna.
The meditation on the practical affairs that your mind is engrossed in is none different than Krishna. Because the results are being offered to Krishna in devotion. And through this process of purification, gradually Krishna will reveal himself from within your heart, even at the time of the most hectic service. But until then, you should know, as a fact, that if you are chanting your rounds nicely, you are hearing nicely, Bhagavatam, and then you are engrossed in serving the order of your spiritual master, if that is a very hectic service, and all you could think of is the service itself, you should know that that is the process of purification. That the meditation on the service is meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna.